All right, good morning. We are in our series on conflict resolution, how to resolve conflict. Has anybody ever dealt with somebody who looks like this? I have. Boy, conflict is baked in from the beginning, isn't it? You know, if no isn't a child's first words, it's in like the first five. I have four kids, and each of them learned to talk and learned to say no really, really early on. And we have this conflict, we have this struggle, we have this drive to be right. And it's tough. So we're talking about conflict. To truly resolve a conflict and not just abandon it or try to like downplay it or something like that, we have to forgive. And so this is our fourth week, this is our last week, and we've saved forgiveness for this week. I was up here a couple weeks ago and somebody came up to me afterwards and said, "What about forgiveness?" And I'm like, "We're going to get there, we're going to get there." And here we are. Forgiveness is so, so important. We have to learn how to forgive. We can't just cut people off. Our society is really big on just saying, okay, you and I disagree, we have conflict, I'm never going to talk to you again. And I'm going to delete you from my phone, and you feel free to unfriend me, you know, that sort of a thing, and we just, they're done. And I don't think that that's right. I think we have to learn how to get along. We have to know how to, at times, compromise, and we have to know how to forgive. But forgiveness costs something. And that's what I really want to focus on this morning, because if we don't understand the cost of forgiveness, we're going to struggle with it. We're going to try, and it's going to be tough. So let's pray and ask God for help here. Lord, help us learn about this. Help us to dive deep into your word and learn from you. Help us to sit at your feet this morning. Lord, I've got verses to share. I've got things that I think that you have pointed out to us through the scriptures that will lead us and guide us. Lord, but I pray for your spirit to open our hearts to hear and for the word to be active and to cut deep and to teach us things. Lord, these scriptures have power. And they can change our lives, and they can help us to be a different person when we walk out of here this morning. And so I ask you for that. Lord, we look to you. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to open our minds and receive truth from you here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you want to resolve a conflict, you got to learn how to forgive. And we've been kind of working, taking some of our material from a book called Resolving Everyday Conflict, and they talk about four promises of forgiveness. I promise I won't dwell on it. Bring it up. Talk to others, or let it stand between us. And that is a high bar for forgiveness, isn't it? That's completely erasing what happened. That's a challenge. And I think that that's where I get to this place. Okay, so if we're truly going to forgive somebody to that extent, we have to count the cost of that. We have to figure that out. It's exceptionally difficult, especially if we've been wounded deeply. I mean, we're not talking about somebody kicking sand in your face on the playground. And whereas that might be offensive and hard to deal with and might require forgiveness, we're talking about betrayal. We're talking about loss. We're talking about divorce. We're talking about the hardest things in life, the biggest deal. God calls us to forgive even in those situations and get to this place where when you see the person coming across the room, you aren't filled with dread and you don't think, oh, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to interact with them. I'm done. God calls us to something more than that. So I feel like God has given us truths, and I've picked out four of them for us to strive to understand here this morning that I think can help us get there, that can help us move forward in this area of forgiveness. They're truths that hopefully can help change our hearts in this. So why? Why is forgiveness hard? I think we have to understand that. Why is forgiveness hard? The first truth I think that God shows us is that in a way, forgiveness is unfair and unjust. You're letting somebody off. You're letting them go free. You're releasing them from what they've done to you. You're giving up your right to punish them. And oftentimes when somebody wounds us, we're like, okay, I'm going to give you the silent treatment, or I'm going to be mean to you back, or I'm going to, you know, do this or do that. And in some ways, I mean, there is some fairness to that. So in God's word in Leviticus, he set up in his law, if a man inflicts a permanent injury on his neighbor, whatever he has done, it is to be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Whatever injury he inflicted on the person, the same is to be inflicted on him. There's fairness in that. There's justice in that. You get into a fight with somebody and they break your arm, well, then their arm should be broken according to this. And so to forgive somebody is to let them off. By definition, forgiveness is to let go, to release, to remit. It's like a debt canceled. But yet that seems unfair. If the debt is canceled, well then who's paying the debt? What do? I see this with my kids all the time, and I didn't tell you guys that I was going to use you as an example, but one hits another one, and the other one hits back a little harder. and that's the way tensions go. We're just like, oh yeah, you did that to me? I'm going to bring it. And maybe you apologize, but the apology's kind of weak. I'm sorry. And that can be how it is sometimes. And it costs us something to forgive them. For us to be able to say, okay, I'm going to release you from this. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to talk about it to anybody else. This is just over. This is done. The debt is canceled. To do that is hard, especially when we've been wounded deeply. Because it's right to punish evil. If this truly is evil, it's right. It's just, and our God is a just God. For I will proclaim the Lord's name, declare the greatness of our God, the rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are just, a faithful God without bias. He is righteous and true. And we want that. We don't want people to just get off for their sin. You know, somebody steals a car, we don't want them to just not have any consequences, or worse yet, hurt somebody else, or murders. You want that person to pay, and it's right that they pay. And God says that there are consequences for our actions. Canceling a debt, in a way, is unjust. Forgiveness is unjust. So how can this just God forgive me because I've sinned? So we have to understand this. Okay, so first we understand that forgiveness is in a sense unfair and unjust, but then we have to understand that we ourselves are forgiven. And God is able to save you through Jesus' sacrifice. And this is core to the gospel itself. When I have an opportunity to share the gospel, I like to be able to kind of explain it all. And I learned a way a long time ago of drawing it out and trying to kind of put God and man on different sides so that you see that God is love, he's holy, he's pure, he's righteous. You know, and the Ten Commandments is the standard that he holds. And man is separated by our sin. We're independent, we're rebellious, we're unrighteous, we're sinful. And sin separates us from a loving, holy, just God. And there's nothing that we can do to bridge that gap. Nothing. Nothing that we can do to make it up to God. You know, oftentimes when we're fighting with somebody else, there is something that they can do to make it up to us that will make us feel better. But to God, there's nothing. We can't do religion. You can't read that very well. Religion, philosophy, good works, or even the best we can doesn't bridge that gap. We're still separated from God. But then Christ comes, and God's love and his justice meet together on the cross. So God is able to be just and fair because Jesus pays the penalty. And so his love can be extended again to us. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood. Redemption, the repayment through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses or our sins according to the riches of his grace. And then 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. God's love, his love and his justice meet. My clicker died. I mean, it's not dead, but it's not clicking. Oh, there it goes. The ledgers are balanced. God's justice is satisfied. He is able to forgive us and still be just because of what Christ has done. He completely covers every sin. The payment so far outweighs the depth of his payment. The perfect Son of God paying for our debt and everybody's debt. Is so complete. It's so overwhelmingly complete. So what does this do for our forgiveness towards others? Can the mercy of God change our relationships? I think it's supposed to. I think it's supposed to help us forgive because I think we're supposed to understand how much we've been forgiven. How much? Oof, this is going to be tough if I have to press the button 5 times every time. We have been forgiven much, much, much more than any wound has done to us. We've been forgiven so much, so much more. Our tech team's been working hard. Our projector behind us died last week. They set this one up. Been doing really, really good. Thanks so much, guys. I got plenty of battery power. We can try it. Thank you, sir. Okay. Can you go? Yep. How many times do I have to forgive? Perfect. So we'll read this passage together while we're getting our clicker reset. So Matthew 18, 21 through 35. We got some Bibles out there. If you brought your own, fantastic. There should be some, several per row underneath the seats. And we can read this parable together. Because this is played out in my house. This is the way things work. How many times do I have to forgive? I know I'm supposed to forgive. Yeah, that's kind of a thing. You know, our society's built on some forgiveness. But there seems like there should be like this number. How many times do I have to forgive? Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Page 873. Peter approaches Jesus and asks, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as 7 times? And I think he's thinking, I've already done it 6 so far this morning. Do I have to do 1 more? And then can I cut him off? And Jesus says, I tell you, not as many as 7, but 70 times 7. That's a lot more. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had to be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. Then the master of that servant had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. The servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, "Pay what you owe." At this, his fellow servant fell down and began begging him, "Be patient with me, I will pay you back." But he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Since you also have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you." And because he was angry, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from the heart. So Peter really gets an earful here, doesn't he? This is a lot. 7 times 70 is 490 times. Now, I don't think Jesus is really going for that, you know, 491st time, then you're done. The 7 was kind of this number of completion, this idea that this is all of it. And so 70 times 7, that's just like all the time. You just got to keep forgiving. An unlimited number of times. And then he tells him this story. He's like, okay, so let's, if you think about an unlimited number of times, let's try to put this into some sort of a context here about what God has done for you. Because this story is very obvious. This is the kingdom of heaven. The king is God here. And so he says, okay, this guy owes money, and somebody else owes him money. So how much money is that? We don't really know what denarii are these days. So let's start with 100 denarii. It was 100 days' labor. So a laborer, somebody who just worked in a common, everyday, ordinary job, probably a low-paying job, would get 1 denarii per day. And so it was 100 days' worth of labor. Maybe $12,000. If you're looking at working really hard and you're just kind of a menial job, a laborer job, maybe you make $12,000. And so the guy owed him 12 grand, which, yeah, that's a significant amount of money. But what about these talent things? Now, a talent was a lot of money. That was like the largest denomination of money that they had during that time. According to Josephus, in 4 BC, 600 talents in taxes were collected from all Judea, Idumea, and Samaria. And so 600 for like all of that area for that year. So 10,000 is a lot, right? If you do the math, 6,000 denarii was 1 talent, which worked out to be about 20 years of a laborer working. Would be 1 talent. So 10,000 talents is 7 with a lot of zeros after it. $7 billion. That was his debt. And now there are a few people in our world today who could pay that, but not very many. That's an extraordinary debt. That's an overwhelming amount of debt. That is an I'll never pay it back sort of debt. And Jesus' point with the story is, what should the debt do that we owe to God? The forgiveness that we have received from God, it ought to change us. The servant did not forgive his fellow servant. The forgiveness that he had received did not change him. It did not empower him to forgive somebody else. And so he was judged for that. We must understand this forgiveness. And it should change us. In Luke 7, Jesus tells another story. We don't have time to read through it, but a woman, Jesus was at a Pharisee's house, and he's having dinner with him, and this Pharisee, Simon, sees this woman come in of bad reputation. And she cries over Jesus' feet, and she washes his feet with her hair, and it's this very touching, intimate scene of this woman who seems very emotionally moved by Jesus, and Simon judges this woman. He's like, okay, she doesn't have a very good reputation, and then judges Jesus for allowing her to touch him like that. And Jesus pulls a lesson from the situation. And again, there's two different people who owe money in this parable. There's the person who has been forgiven much, and she loves much. And he contrasts that with Simon, this Pharisee, and he says, you don't love much because you don't think you've been forgiven much. I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little. Because the unspoken truth of this story is that we're all in that place. We're all in that place. It's about perception. How much have you been forgiven? We've all been forgiven so much that we should be weeping over Jesus' feet. And then scrubbing the soles on the back of our head because our hair's not long enough. That's what he's done for us. Who sinned more, the woman or Simon the Pharisee? I don't know. The exact amount isn't really that important. 7 billion or 6.5 billion. It's still an amount that is so, so much. We should be immensely grateful. We ought to connect with the depth of our sin and therefore the depth of the forgiveness that we have been given. And from that well, draw love, joy, and peace. And forgiveness towards others. In love, we ought to obey God. We should love him much, and therefore we should obey him much. The biggest way we love God is if we obey him. John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. It's pretty straightforward. And this leads us to the fourth and final truth that we must understand. Does God require me to forgive somebody else? Yeah. God requires us to forgive. He calls us. He commands us. In fact, like that earlier story, if we don't forgive somebody else, then that counts against us. Unforgiveness is a sin. And now I don't think that it's different from another sin, but yet, in some ways, if you're completely unwilling to forgive somebody else, what does it say about your understanding of your own forgiveness? Almost made it. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive. Wow. It doesn't say if they're perfect, if they really try hard, if they're nice to me, if they never do it again, forgive them. It doesn't say that. It doesn't even say if they're repentant. It just calls us to forgive. Paul says in Colossians as well, or no, that was Colossians. In Ephesians, he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. I like this quote from the book. It says, Christians are the most forgiven people in the world. Therefore, we should be the most forgiving people in the world. Oof. That's a lot to carry. That means we are to forgive not based on the other person's character or repentance, but because our God who loves us has forgiven us and calls us to do that. So there is a step in our hearts that we are to take to forgive, to let that person go, to release them from payment towards us. We don't hold their debt over them, we cancel it. And in a way, we let that debt be paid by Christ and what he has done. We cannot hold a grudge. Unforgiveness in our hearts at the same time that we are proclaiming that we are a Christian and want to love God and want to serve him, there's something really wrong with that. In a way, it's kind of like telling God you don't really love him if you're unwilling to forgive. Because you're not willing to obey him. Now, I realize that deep forgiveness is often a process. All right, it's not something that's easy. Sometimes with a debt, there seems like there's payments, you know, and you can cancel some of the debt, but then you realize that there's more still there and you're still struggling with it to really get to that place of like, okay, everything's gone, it's all canceled, I don't see that anymore. That can take a little bit of time or a lot of time. But are you in that process? Rebuilding trust takes a lot of time. And maybe you don't trust. Maybe you just say, okay, I'm going to cancel your debt, but I won't be able to trust you until I can see it, until I can be wise enough to see some track record of this not happening again. But God can transform us. He can change us. His strength in us can help us love somebody who is hard to love, to forgive somebody who is hard to forgive. Another quote from the book, he says, forgiveness isn't a matter of whether we forget, but of how we remember. So we don't have this ability to just kind of shut off certain memories. And when you see that person, you may still struggle. But can you get to a place where you remember and you say, God, you died for that person. You died for that sin. You paid for that. It's paid. It had, you know, there's no more debt there in this relationship because of what you have done, God. And it's a faith decision. I'm not saying that it isn't a struggle. The cost is huge to forgive. But God can enable us to let him carry that cost. Another thing that I think we need to realize, forgiveness doesn't always mean that everything is just like it was before. Maybe if someone stole from you, it doesn't mean that you just allow them around your valuables. Be wise. You can forgive, you cannot hold a grudge, but you can also be wise. And I think that there is a lot greater reunification if there is repentance. If the other person says, you know what? I was wrong, I hurt you, I did this, and I'm sorry, and I won't do it again. Please forgive me. Then there is a lot greater chance for you really to be back in fellowship with this person. Luke 17:3, this got brought up in my small group this past week. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and then comes back to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. And so, is this another layer of forgiveness? I don't know if you could really say that, but I feel like there's complete reunification at that stage. And you get to this place where you can say, okay, so not only is the debt canceled and I forgive you, but we are joined back together in the way that we ought to be with someone who repents. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a good thing. But even if that person is unrepentant, I think we're still supposed to forgive. As far as it is up to us, be at peace, Romans 12 says. So I think we can use the power of God's forgiveness towards us, this gospel forgiveness, to energize our forgiveness towards others. I think that's the power of God in us. This is the truth. So when forgiveness is hard, here's these four truths again. It's unfair and unjust. I mean, count the cost. It's tough. Realize that. It's not just something easy to just check the box. But God is able to forgive you through Jesus' sacrifice. He's able to. And as we put our faith in him, Jesus' sacrifice is then given to cover us in our sin. And we have been forgiven so much. The debt against us is so much. And God requires us to do this, to obey him. Loving God means obeying him and forgiving others. And I think that this truth will help. It's helped me, and it will continue to help me. Maybe you need some further study. The book is a good book to get. There's some other verses here if you want to snap a picture. Got some more Bible passages for you to walk through on your own. Praying for your enemies, guarding your heart and your tongue, recognizing your limits, not taking revenge, being a peacemaker. It's good things to challenge yourself with, to continue to pursue this. God has so much truth for us on this topic. So go after it. Okay, one last verse for us. Everybody got that? I see phone still up. Psalm 32. David writes, "How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is a person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity and in whose spirit is no deceit." Oh, you've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. You get to walk in that joy today. We're going to pray in a minute here to close the service off, but I want to challenge you to take a minute and do three things. Recognize you've been forgiven much. Rejoice in that. Thank God for that. Praise him for his love and grace. Ask God for help. We all need help. And then start forgiving. It may be a choice that you can make today here for the first time and say, you know what? God, you are poking at me. Your spirit is poking at my heart here this morning. Help me forgive this person. Help me want to forgive this person. Maybe you're even at that place. Eventually, my prayer for you is that you could actually say to them, "I forgive you. I release you from your debt to me." So take a minute, think about that, and then I'll close this in prayer. Lord God, we do just thank you so much for your forgiveness towards us, that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, that your spirit comes into us and gives us the power. We ask you, God, for help. We need it. Forgiveness is hard. And I have full confidence that there are people who have been wounded deeply by others in this room here this morning. So I pray for them. I pray for myself. Help us go to you, fall at your feet, and say, thank you for forgiving me. Help me forgive others. Help me forgive those who have hurt me. Lord, and then help us take that step to not wait, but take that step today, even now, to release them of their debt to us. Help us work towards that place where we can actually say to them, I forgive you. Maybe even this afternoon, or maybe even now, we can go to them and we can forgive them. Lord God, I thank you that you are big enough, that you are strong enough, that you are God enough. And all of our little things, all of our things that don't really mean that much, in the grand scheme of things, mean something to you. You care about our hurt and you comfort. Lord, help us bring our hearts to you. And help us do it together. Lord, help us encourage one another. Help us to be about helping each other as we seek you. Help us this week, Lord, in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.